The title of the message today is The Go of the Gospel. Now, if you were to spell gospel, it's spelled G-O-S-P-E-L, right? And too often, we take the go, and all we do is just spell. Now, how many of you love spelling in school? Not me. I enjoyed the going more than I enjoyed the spelling. Amen? But there is a go in the gospel that we need to receive. You cannot get the gospel without the go. I'm going to say it again. You can't get the gospel without going, without the go of the gospel. You can't get it without the going, because God has a plan for you and he has a purpose for you. So I'm going to basically take us to two scriptures today. The first one is in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at the creation of Adam and Eve. And I just love the book of Genesis. So I know if you've been in this church long enough, you will know that I often go to Genesis a lot, because there's so much truth in the beginning. And so I like to start a lot of times when my own Bible study, if I'm looking up a particular topic or particular thing, I will try to find something in Genesis first, because many times God just lays it right out there for you. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you have the story of Adam and Eve and how God made man. Let us, amplified, yay, glory to God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us. And I believe, too, that actually there was a whole lot more people hanging out with God at the time. And so he's just saying, hey, let's do this thing. And make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority. And the word is dominion that I like to use, over the fish of the sea, right? The birds of the air and the beasts, over all of the earth and everything that creeps upon the earth. Not all the creeps on the earth, though you need to have authority over any creep. Guys, got that ready? Anybody creepy, just take authority over them. God gives you that ability. Praise God. All right. So the first thing I want to talk about is this, is that God made us in his image so that we can have dominion. Amen. Let me say that again. God made us in his image so that we can have dominion. So that we can have authority. The very purpose of being created was to have dominion. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you have been made in God's image so that you can take authority. Come on now. Come on now. Yeah, you can have dominion. So that's the reason why you've been made. You can have authority over things. That's why he's made you that way. That's why you're here. You're here to exercise the dominion of God, the kingdom of God. That's why you're here. You are not an accident. You are not a series of random events. You've been made in his image for the purpose of having dominion. And that word dominion was used of putting things under your feet. Tread them on. Okay, this is my dominion, right? This is where I'm walking. And if you ever bought a piece of property or bought a house, right? There's something about buying a house from Marlene Dalton or Birgit Deladotti. There's something fantastic when you open the key to that door of that house and realize, and you put your feet in there and you go, this is my place. Right? Do you see people do that when they get in there and they go like, this is my ground now. This is my house. This is my place. My castle. You're not living in some... How many of you live long enough in someone else's house and think it's time for me to have my own place? Amen. Come on, folks. That'll preach right there.
Millennials get it.
When you're not, when you're living in someone else... How's it feel, Liz? Lived long enough in mom and dad's house. I'm getting out of here. Woo! Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? I remember when I first moved out of my house, I was gone. I mean, right, Mom? After I graduated college, I came home and I was done. I was gone. I didn't show up back home except to visit. I mean, since 1978, poof, it was gone. They ain't like things like that nowadays. I mean, it's amazing how things have changed so much. But I was poofed out of my house. And I would come and visit, but it wasn't my home anymore. Yeah, it's amazing. So God gave us dominion over three realms. Air, water, and ground. Now, I'm just going to use that application. God has given you authority in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he's given you authority in the watery places, or the, let's just say, spirit, soul, and body. Your own life. Okay? We have a spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul in a body. And we have authority in a personal way over all three realms. And likewise, there are three realms in nature. Likewise, God has given us authority in heavenly places as well as earthly places and in the deep. The dark places that you don't have knowledge of. So the sea has to do with the dark places or the places that are just churning and you don't have control over that. But God can give you authority there because Jesus walked on the water, didn't he?
Yes.
So it showed that he had authority to put that water under his feet. And so do you. Now don't go try jumping out of boats expecting the water. But if God tells you to, just go ahead. Live with the consequences. Praise God. Okay, now. So we were made in his image because he wants us to have dominion. Now, the second thing, if you go on to the next verse. God created man in his own image. And the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now we go to another realm. Now, God speaks this thing again. The first time he says, I'm going to make God in my image to have dominion. Now he's going to talk about another realm of purpose is called fruitfulness. So God, number one, go into the next verse. God blessed him and said, be fruitful and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. So the second thing that God does, the first thing that God does is makes us in his image. Right? We look like him. How many of you have seen a picture, like when I've been going through mom's stuff, okay, because we've been cleaning her house out. And I found pictures of her mother when she was 13, 14 years old. And I saw my mom in her mother. I was like, that's mom. No, it's her grandmother. It's my grandmother. But they look so much alike when they were young. That's really cool to do, discover old pictures. And find that they look the same. So God made us in his image to have dominion. And then second of all, he made us fruitful to have dominion. See that? So not only do you look like God and act like God, but there's a fruitfulness that comes out of you that causes you to have dominion. And that's why he starts talking about male and female there. Because in order to have fruit, you got to have both. You got to have that diversity. You've got to have mommy and daddy in order to have fruitfulness. And the same thing with any kind of plant or tree. You've got to have both parts of the sexes to make it work. And so God talks about the diversity to create fruitfulness. And God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be alone. I think in the second chapter, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper. And so God has called us to be fruitful. And I believe that we cannot be fruitful without each other. I cannot be fruitful by myself. So what's the fruit of the Spirit, guys? Come on. First fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Well, how can you love unless you have somebody to love? Right? Unless all you love is yourself. And we want to stay away from people like that. That's all they care about is me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. You've heard that, right? Me, myself, and I. That's the unholy Trinity. Stay away from that one. And how can you love if you don't have somebody to love? And then if you love like God, that means you love somebody who's not easy to love. If you love like God, right? And that's agape love. Agape love is the kind of love that God gives you for somebody that just doesn't, maybe hard to love, or maybe someone that doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. Like most of us.
Like most of us. That's right. Come on now, preach it, Tim. Come on. Can I get an amen for Tim? Yeah, amen. Amen. It's right on. Once we see that he loves us, don't you feel more valuable?
Yes, amen.
I feel more valuable in the fact that it's sometimes very hard to love me. That's why I think my wife is awesome. Because she knows me better than anybody. You know what they say about marriage? You know, love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Her eyes are really wide. Anyway, the blinders came off a long time ago.
But that's true love.
It's true love. Get me there. I'll start thinking of Princess Bride. I'll start be talking about true love. We'll follow forever and ever. Okay. So not only do we have dominion by being in God's image, but we have dominion by being fruitful. We actually exercise the kingdom of God by being patient. We exercise authority by loving when it's hard to love. We exercise authority by being kind when most people are abusive. We exercise kingdom authority by not being greedy, but being giving when other people are taking for themselves. We're giving. We exercise authority by the fruit of the Spirit. You see that? By doing the fruit of connecting with other people in positive ways when others are killing each other, tearing each other down, slandering. We're not the person jumping in on the, you know what I mean, the pile-on. We're standing there with our mouth shut.
That's right.
And being positive. We're actually a force to be reckoned with by the fruit of the Spirit that's on our lives. Because we're just not like others in our love and our care, you know, peace. We have peace when other people are what?
Troubled.
So our fruitfulness actually creates a dominion,
yes,
an authority in a situation. Paul the Apostle was on a ship in the middle of a storm, and through his peace, he had authority to take charge of that boat. And so here was a prisoner that was in charge.
That's right. Amen.
Because of the peace of God on him.
Yeah.
He said, don't you do this. You better do this, because an angel of God spoke to me. And guess what they did? They didn't do some of what he said, but then they started listening to him, and they eventually did what he said. All right? So this is an example, and where God will use you in a position to create peace in a stressful situation. I'm thinking people's jobs. I'm thinking of people's homes, family get-togethers, things like that where there's chaos and there's intensity. And God just gives you this peace. And people go like, what's wrong with you? You are so peaceful right now. Everybody's ready to kill each other.
Right.
And you can say, well, it's like, I don't know what to tell you other than that Jesus is in my heart. And Jesus just makes me peaceful right now. And I'm not stressing right now because he was already stressed for me so that I can have peace. Praise God. Okay. Then we're blessed. The last thing it says, God blessed them. So the three things that God gets us ready for the dominion is, number one, he makes us in his image. Number two, he makes us fruitful. And number three, he blesses us with everything that we need. If you go on to the next verse, he says, I give you everything in the plant world. Okay, keep going. Okay, all right, so that's cool. But all the plants, the vegetables, everything that God gives you, he says you can have for food. In other words, I have given you every resource that you need. You've got everything that you need. Provision for dominion. You need provision in order to rule. You got to have something to rule with, to give. If I want to be a financial blessing to somebody, I got to have money. I got to have resources. One of the most frustrating things about being a leader is not having the resources to give for people to receive what they need. Right? And you can't be a good leader unless you have the resources to give people. And so God promises you that I will give you supernatural resources to give so that you can be a blessing to other people and exercise dominion in people, is so that the kingdom of God sees the dominion of God and other people get Satan under their feet too. I mean, don't you feel like there's too many people that are being stomped by the devil? It's time when we start stomping the devil. And not only that, we help people stomp the devil themselves. They're being stomped by poverty. They're being stomped by drug addiction. They're being stomped by anger. They're being stomped by lust. They're being stomped by just wickedness, just insensitivity and ill treatment. They're being stomped by other people stealing from them. We don't need that in this town. We don't need this in our lunch country. We need to have people put Satan under their feet. And in order to do that, we've got to give them resources and weapons to do that. And God will give us ways to come to somebody and help them get out of where they've been. Yeah. The worst thing that we could be as a church, I'm telling you the truth, the worst thing that we could be as a church is only to give someone a tiny little bit of help so that they just barely stay alive so they can suffer the rest of their lives. Do you think that's what we want? Do you think that's what God's called us to do? Just to help someone not die, but starve? Come on. Give me a break. God wants people to be so provided for that they will step out of their problem and have victory over it. Not just be, here's a few bucks. Go ahead and be a beggar the rest of your life. God wants to get them out of that. He wants to get us out of that. And anybody here, I mean, anybody that we see, so that God will heal them and empower them and strengthen them. Amen. I'll tell you what, you ought to be jumping and dancing right now because God has given us everything we need. Apostle Tim's been to places where people are so dirt poor, right? And you don't want to see them in a place where they're just like that for the rest of their lives, just barely making it. You want to see them come up. Then nothing's more proud and will make someone more proud than when you see somebody you've known in the beginning of their life. And then when you've known them for a while, see them step out of their poverty, step out of their anger, step out of their destruction and become victorious in life. Victorious in life where they're ruling and reigning for Christ. God wants us to be happy. Sorry, that's a dangerous saying nowadays in some parts of the body. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be victorious. God has created you to have dominion. Amen. Dominion, that means you are overcoming and the enemy is under your feet. Amen. And he doesn't want us, like I said, just to give empty promises. Amen. Wow. Now, that's the foundation for what God has called you to be. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 110. And believe it or not, I'm not going to the New Testament at all today, but I want you to know that the Psalm 110 is the most quoted scripture from the Old Testament in the Gospels. The number one most quoted scripture. So by reading this Psalm, you're going to learn the one that everybody cared about the most. How about that? Psalm 110. And we're going to just walk our way through this psalm together. This is a psalm that I would encourage you to memorize. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Isn't that what God said to Adam?
Yes.
Isn't that what he said to Adam? I want your enemies to be your footstool. You know what your enemies are. He wants them to be under your feet. Praise God. Now that place is at his God's right hand, that place of favor. Amen. It's a throne chair, not an easy chair. Praise God. I like easy chairs, but throne chairs are better. Too many of God's people are in easy chairs. Get up on that throne so you can do some ruling. Come on, saints. Get the remote out of your hands and get out there and do something and get in the game and stop being a sideline commentator. Ooh, that's a sports analogy. Come on, I love sports, right, Vince? Come on now. Glory to God. All right, now. So, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. God sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of all your buddies. Enemies. All right, let's stop right there. Oh, come on now. All right, first thing I want to talk about, I'm just going to take this scripture apart for you, okay? Verse by verse. It's only got 10 verses, so we won't be here forever. All right, the Lord says to my Lord. Everybody say, my Lord. It's not just the Lord. Come on, say it. It's my Lord. Let's say it again. It's not just the Lord. It's my Lord. My Lord, what a morning. You know what I'm saying? It's not just something you say when you're feeling. Ooh. My Lord means I have him and he is mine. My beloved is, I'm his and he is mine. There is a personal relationship. It's not just the Lord Jesus. It's my Lord Jesus. It's my Lord. And there is a God. Yes, I thank for God. I thank you that there's one on the throne that I can't see because he is unseeable. But then there's a Lord that I know that's my Lord because I've seen him. I've heard his voice. I know him. He's my Lord. He came to me, John. He wasn't just saying, you know, sign up here, you know, put your name on the piece of paper now. You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, this is Jesus. I'm out of here. This is, wow, this is God. I will never question you again the rest of my life. I know you're God. I know you're God. I know you're God. That's how I got saved. Jesus became my Lord. In order to walk in dominion, you got to have a my Lord in your life. Come on now. You got to know that you know that you know. That's how I'd say it. That you know. Pardon me for being very 70s here. That you know that you know that you know. That you know. I know he's my Lord. I know it's Jesus. And I am in on the conversation. Because I hear the Lord speak to my Lord. And I hear what they're saying. So I have a relationship with my Lord such that I know what's being said between him and his Father. I'm in on it. And the Lord has given us a place that's stable because of him being seated, I can be sent to have dominion. So because he's at my right hand and I'm there with him, I can actually do something because there is a stability in heaven. And that's what I'm going to talk about. If in a military, one of the first things that an army has to do is establish a base. Am I right?
Yes.
We just had Veterans Day. Thank God for those that laid their life down to go into war. I can't imagine what war is like. I've never been in it. I can't imagine it. It's one of those things that you don't know what it is until you go there. Am I right, Apostle Tim? I thank God for them because it's that they just went through hell. I mean, they just went through this for our place. And I thank God for them. I think we should give a round of applause right now for the veterans that God has put in those places. Really. But the very first thing that Marines do is they go and establish a base. They have to establish a place so that the Army and everybody can operate out of. In some case, your Navy is a stable base. You've got a ship out there, and the enemy, there may be not one scrap of ground, but praise God, you got a boat that you can operate out of, and you're not worried about it. And there's a place, a base of operation that is safe. And the throne room of God is our base of operation so that we can be safe. Come on. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? We have a base that we can function out of and not be like torn apart and be safe so that we can go out from that place and do damage to the enemy.
Amen.
And that's heaven. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. Come into the base, the safe place, so that I can send you and put the enemies under your feet.
Yes.
So the place of the throne is a place of safety where God can bring all of our enemies under our feet. Wow, that's a great place to be. Jerusalem was the first base of operations for the king, for the church in history. Jesus told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave until I send the Holy Spirit. Now think about it. Out of all the 12 disciples, how many were from Jerusalem? Zero. Maybe John, maybe.
How about Matthew?
I don't know, but I don't know for sure, but not many. Most of them wanted to go back where? Galilee, a long way away. So the first thing Jesus had to do was get it through their thick heads, because they were, face it. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes, because your base of operations is going to be Jerusalem right now. Now, how does this apply to me and you? When you guys come to church, all of you have your Galilees. Come on now. For you, Galilee, maybe Axton. For you, Galilee, maybe Irisburg. But this is where we used to live. Where I was thinking I lived in just about every part of the county but Ridgeway. Because I know the area codes, you know. But Ridgeway I'm a little shaky on because I lived in Bassett, lived in Collinsville. Well, I didn't really live in Bassett, but I worked there. Ronnie lived. You lived in a few places in the county too, right?
Ridgeway, Spencer.
See, Ronnie's got more places, but he's got more zip codes under his belt, right?
Yeah.
But you see, all of us have our Galilee.
You got your Long Island.
Yeah, my Long Island.
Long Island.
Long Island. Anyway, you guys is Pittsburgh. Anyway, we all have our Galilees. And we have to learn that there is a base of Jerusalem, a base of operations called the church, where God has called us to. And that's where you're going to get your Holy Spirit. That's where you're going to get your empowering. That's going to get your sending. That's where you're going to get the base of operations so that you can be sent and directed. It's not everybody. You just think of it. If Jesus were an American today, he would tell all the disciples, here's what he'd say. Here's what he would say. He would say, guys, now that I'm resurrected, y'all just go back to your home and get on the internet and watch me on the internet. You'll never have to go to church. You'll never have to come under anybody's authority. Just do whatever you want to do. And go to as many conventions as you can. You'll never have to really know anybody. Just live in your Galilee, get on your boat, do what you want to do, and don't stay in Jerusalem because you might have to encounter somebody else. Yeah, you might have to get along with somebody. You might have to say, Peter, okay, I'll do what you... I'm sorry, Peter. You did do some stupid stuff, but you know what? I think you're right. I'm going to, you know, or I think I'll just stay in the upper room for a while and pray. But they stayed. You realize that all people that came to Jerusalem at the time were just visiting temporarily. Some of them stayed there. Some sold property so that they had the money to stay longer. Barnabas, and then gave it to some other people who were running out of resources so that they could stay there. They literally did stuff like this in the beginning. Why? God was creating a base of operations. Amen. Because how is an army really going to function if you don't have a base? The local church is the base for the army of God, not the country club. You hear me? It's different.
Well said.
And then it moved to other places. Antioch was the next one. Then you had Ephesus and Rome and different places where God created these bases of operation. Now, stay long enough in Jerusalem until you get what God has given you so that you can go and do what God says. So we are sent because Jesus is sitting on the throne. Now let's look at the next verse. The Lord sends forth his mighty Zion from Zion, this mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. That means you got to get around people who are not nice to do it. And that means going to church. No, I'm just kidding. We knew what that really means. That means you got to go places sometimes where you're going to be dealing with people who don't think the way you do, who don't act the way you try to act, and who maybe rub you the wrong way. God will send you to them. And he's amazing. Wow. Well, can I give you, for instance, in my life? I don't want to give too much in here, but I remember when the Lord wanted me to help establish the Boys and Girls Club. So back in 2004 and 5, Boys and Girls Club wanted to come to town. And so I just felt, come on, I'm going to really help these people out. So I got involved and I did their summer camp. So they did their summer camp at Martinsville Middle School. And I did the summer camp at the middle school, had a great time. And then the principal looked at me and said, can you come teach here at the school? I'm like, no, I don't want to teach here. I don't want to be a teacher in the school. I stopped teaching 10 years ago. I mean, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. This is really fun. I really like coming and doing camps. I don't want to have to deal with these kids, middle school kids, all the time. You know what I'm saying? Now, I love kids. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. What I wanted to say was this, but it wasn't what I was thinking. It wasn't where I was at. I was into being a minister or pastor. You know what I mean? I wasn't into being a school teacher at that time. And the Lord said, no, you go to that middle school and teach. So I knew I was going. Sometimes you know you're doing the will of the Lord because you're really not totally loving it. Does that make sense? Am I being right about that? I'm being real now. Come on. It's not the most convenient thing in the world to do the will of God sometimes. Sometimes you just got to like do it. And you love it when you go. You love it when you go. And I loved it. I had a great time. It was challenging. It stretched me in all kinds of directions. But I'm like, please, Lord, please, why am I here? Because I know what these kids are like. They're most 80% of the kids in the city schools are in poverty. They're in poverty. Over 50, 60% do not live with both parents. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of these kids are just a mess. They're a mess. And so I was just there dealing with that and just in that whole environment. And you thank God for your teachers and the school systems here because they're laying their lives down too. Yeah, come on. Let's give honor. You know, it's a godly thing with these people, man. And it's not, they don't do it for the paycheck. Trust me. It's not just the paycheck that motivates them. I'm telling you. Or they would be teaching somewhere else in Virginia. Because our pay here is one of the lowest in the state. Am I right? So they're not doing it for the paycheck, but they're doing it because they really love these kids. And so we're very supportive of these kids because God, and that's what I'm going to show you here. Our children is where it's at, okay? Dominion has to do with kids. So anyway, I hope that applies this scripture because God wants us to be there. He says, your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. That means that we're all priests and kings before God. And to offer yourself freely, can you go back to that verse so I can finish it? Thank you. They will offer themselves freely. And that word here is the sense of serving. So when you rule by being a servant. That's how you rule. Now, that ain't like the way the world is. The world ruling means you just throw your weight around. You tell everybody what to do. You know what I'm saying? You influence people by dominating and by, you know what I mean? Whatever. Flattery. You're taught, leadership classes, how to flatter, twist, manipulate, do all that kind of stuff. But ruling here is to be freely you have received, freely give. So you become a servant. Amen. And then you know what God does? He rules. He controls the situation. And the fear of the Lord comes on the people around you and people give you respect. Because of the fear of the Lord, not because of how awesome you are. Does that make sense? They're just like, God just gives them a respect for you. And you're like, they're treating me really good. And I can't believe this. And you're just being a servant. And you're taking the lowest. You're the last one in line, not the first in the table. You're the one that's getting down on your knees and washing feet. You're doing the jobs that people don't want to do. You do those jobs. You take. You're at the table. Praise God. Yeah. And God's looking out for your back. That's the thing I want you to see is that let God cover your back.
That makes you kind of amazing.
Well, yeah. Yeah. In God's eyes. And that's what happens. We sacrifice. We rule through sacrifice and service, not by domination.
Amen.
And control. Okay? Clothed in righteousness has his royal priesthood. Go on. And from the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. How can I explain this any better than this? Our kids are the work of the ministry at this place. If it isn't about young people, it isn't about the kingdom. I'm serious. God cares about children a lot. Whole lot. As a matter of fact, the disciples tried to get Jesus out of the kids' ministry. Mankind, religion is still doing that today. Don't fool around with those kids. Don't spend all that. Don't take all that time. You know what I'm saying? I want this church to be about children more than anything. More than anything. You know, the devil hates kids. He hates young people. So what does he do to young people? He tries to cut them off from their parents. He wants them to be on the internet all the time and not talking to their mom and dad. Can I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
Or watching television and not spending time with their family or friends. Or TV. Or doing something where they spend more time with their football coach than their parents. Anything to separate children from their families and godly people, the devil wants. And not only that, the devil doesn't want sex to be connected to having kids. He doesn't want that. I mean, he wants that. He wants there to be no connection between children and sex. He wants sex to be completely independent from anything to have to do with kids. He wants Americans to be childless. So he'll use lies like overpopulation.
Amen.
or you don't have enough money to raise those kids. He'll use whatever thing he can to stop children from being blessed. I'm serious. I mean, we lived in a our generation is the first generation that was brought up under birth control. First ever. And we've been brainwashed, I'm telling you, brainwashed into believing there should be no connection between children and sex. No connection. Why? The devil hates children. Because God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Because it's the children, Jesus said, it belongs to the kingdom. They're the ones that have the kingdom right there. Jesus said that. He said it. You can look it up. Check me out. Because he was putting his hands on the children to bless them. And they said, oh, don't waste your time on these. No, they really, really matter. So I believe this church, as we take steps to bless our children, God's going to prosper us and bless us. And don't think you're too old or too young to do that. No one's too old, too young. We need it. If grandpa can raise a child, you know what I'm saying? Anybody can do it. Anybody can be a blessing. Doesn't matter how old you are. How old was Jacob when he adopted his grandkids? He was pretty old. Yeah, he was only 130. So you're not too old to minister to children. And I believe that a lot of grandparents, there are a lot of grandparents in Henry County and Martinsville that are raising their children.
That's right.
Their grandkids. Maybe some great grandkids.
And you can tell a difference in the ones who are with their grandparents versus most of the time the ones who are with their natural parents. There's a love there. There's a surety there.
Well, I guess so. I've never seen that, but praise God. You know what I mean? No, I haven't been there, so I know you must be speaking from it. But it's okay. Here we go. Now I'm going to finish up. Okay, we're going to finish up. The dew of the youth will be yours. God births a new generation like the dew of the morning, because the battle will always be for the young people. That's where the battle will be, guys. If we don't win the battle for our children, we will lose the war.
Come on.
We will lose the war if we don't win the battle for our children. So I guarantee you, here's the thing. I'm going to an orphanage in the Philippines, a pastor's conference. We are going to an orphanage in India, 49 kids. All right? God loves those children. Amen. And God's used our church to send thousands of dollars to bless those kids. You don't think by us taking the time out of our schedule and believing God and putting up our finances to do this, to bless those kids, God loves that.
Amen.
He loves that. Because those kids are going to be blessed. That someone from America would take the time to hang out with them.
Amen.
And we're sending our best.
Amen.
Janine, wherever she is. We're sending our best. So I'm excited. It says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter the kings on the days of wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs above the hearth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Here's the thing. God is with you. He will fight for you.
Amen.
He will fight for you. Spiritual warfare is where you pray and God fights. Spiritual warfare is where you seek the Lord and He goes before you. The carnal warfare is where you fight and God sits. God wants you to stand and He wants to fight for you. Because God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? If you are for you, guess what? You'll have people against you. But if God is for you, if you step back and let Him fight your battles, you let Him fight the victory, He will never let you be defeated. Can I say that with authority, that God will never let you be defeated?
Amen.
You will always triumph. You'll never lose a battle. You'll never lose. We can have that assurance in our heart. This is a faith journey. This is not the world. This is God. When God says you will always triumph in Christ, He means it. He doesn't mean you win some. Well, you win some and you lose some. That's the world talking, folks. But if God is for you, nobody can be against you. Sometimes you got to shut your mouth to the world and just pray. Let all your complaints go one direction, that way. So if you want to fuss it and vent to the Lord, all right, give your grief to God and then let Him fight for you, and He will come through for you. God has come through for us so many times when the enemy rises up and we think that all is lost. Come on, haven't we seen that like big time demonstrated this week?
Right.
We've seen it.
Amen.
The little people in places that no one cared about.
That's right.
Not the big cities, not the big shots.
Right.
The little people. Only God could have done that.
Yes.
I just believe that.
Amen.
I just believe that. Come on. Because I believe there was prayer going on. I mean, I believe prayer made a big difference. I'm serious. It made a big difference. And if we don't, we can't stop praying. We got to pray more, because God has just gotten started. Now, I'm just going to finish right here. He is with you and He does the fighting. And then Tim's going to come up and share with what's going on in the battle that he's in. He may be retired U.S. Navy, but he ain't retired from God's army. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He's still in the fight. Actually, his weaponry is what much better.
Amen.
Even the Navy has some amazing weapons. OK, I mean, they have some amazing weapons. I mean, they have a cannon that will destroy just about an entire town from like miles away. But they still nothing like what God can do.
Amen.
I just feel like I just want to speak prophetically now about the season that we're in. There's a story in the Old Testament about Jacob, when he lived with his father-in-law, Laban, for many years, 20 years. And here he was growing, got two wives. One he asked for, one he didn't ask for. By the way, I'm not going to go anywhere with that. But he got two wives and all these children, 11 children. There's your number 11, Stephen.
Yes.
11 children. And when he had Joseph, God said, it's time to leave Laban. I believe we're in a prophetic time where the church is leaving Laban's authority. Leaving the house of Laban. Now, who was Laban? Laban was a person who ripped him off. Everything that Jacob did, all the good he did, all the blessing he did, Laban ripped him off every time. One to keep him poor, one to keep him off balance. He lied to him, he deceived him, he played him. And I believe the church, I'm just giving you my prophetic picture where I see the church at. I believe the church has been ripped off long enough. I believe God's people have been manipulated long enough.
That's right.
I believe they've been played, manipulated, lied to, stolen from. And it's time for the church to pull out of Laban's authority and come into the Father's house and live the blessings that they have brought on their own lives and not be ripped off anymore.
Amen.
I just believe that. He left with his 11 kids. 11 children. He left Laban. He did it in a godly way. And I believe it's a picture of revival. Even when he left, he brought revival to Laban. I believe that we're on the edge of a great revival, but God's people have to, if they will, exit themselves from under the authority of the conniver and deceiver. And I believe we've just been lied to long enough. I think people are tired of it. And it's time to come home. And they are coming home. So that's my prophetic picture of where we've been at as a church. You can just think about that. Pray about that. That's in addition to this message. And we can talk about it later.